Good morning. Let's try it again. I know it's a beautiful Lord's Day. It is a beautiful Mother's Day. Good morning. That's a little bit better. I couldn't quite hear the people that might be outside or over in the sanctuary or at home, but hopefully you played along. You know, kind of like when you see the things on TV, your little sing-along commercials that you know by heart. But at any rate, we're glad that you're here with us today at Central Baptist Church to celebrate Mother's Day, to gather around the Lord and His Word as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And hey, look around. Look at somebody over there that you don't know. Give somebody a wave. This is the COVID welcome. And smile. Listen, smile. Don't be like those people. Yeah, you never know. Somebody may come in. They sit there and they see you going. Yeah, look like you're happy to be alive and here and enjoying the Lord's day. One more time, give everybody a wave. Hey, smile. Hey, good to see you guys. Listen, if you're outside, wave at somebody over there. If you're out in the parking lot, look at the person in the car next to you and give them a smile and a wave. In the sanctuary, hey, be sure that y'all might even be able to holler at one another. Just say, hey, how you doing? Just give somebody a yell. If you're online with us today, be sure to tell Dr. Gant good morning and hello, or other people that you see that are gathered online this morning. We're so glad to have you with us. And Mother's Day is one of those very, very special days. I know that we often see that there will be children that will come with mom. They'll come down, you know, on Mother's Day, but then often we will see a lot of them that are gone because, you know, when you're a little bit younger, you actually go see mom, and that might be what the case is with a lot of our folks today. But at any rate, we're hoping and praying that you're going to have a great day celebrating mom if you have the privilege of still having your mom here on earth with you. But here's something that we always try to do to honor our moms. It's nothing that it's big by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a way just to let you know how much we appreciate you. Last year, you know, we weren't able to do this. You know, last year we were in the middle of the situation of the COVID scare and pandemic, and didn't know what the next day would actually hold. But if you are here and you are a mother, now when I say here, I mean on the property. That means here in the multi-purpose building, if you're outside sitting on the lawn, if you're in the cars, if you're over in the sanctuary, if you are a mom, I'll do this. I won't make you stand up because I'm not sure how long it's going to take to get to you. Just raise your hand up. Put your hand up if you are a mom. And it doesn't matter if you're part of our church or not. If you are here and you are a mom, raise your hand up. You know, motherhood is one of those great things. Now, what we've got just a little gift that we're going to get to you. Just kind of keep your hand up when you see somebody coming around. And whether you're outside, listen, if you're outside, don't worry. They're going to get to you outside as well. If you're over in the sanctuary is going to be covered. The parking lot, same issue there. If you're watching from home, I can't reach through the camera, but at any rate, we're so very, very glad that you're joining us by way of the airwaves today. Again, we just want to let you know how much that we love you, how much we appreciate you, how much we understand that motherhood is a task. Motherhood is it's a job. It's a really big job. I used to love hearing when people would sit back and somebody would ask a mother, say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And they're all, oh, so you don't do anything. Ooh. Boy, that'll get you hurt, you know. When you see the light, you eventually will see the light when the swelling goes down, right? Listen, motherhood is a task. It takes a lot. And guys, honestly, we couldn't handle the task that moms handle on a daily basis, sometimes on a moment-by-moment basis. But we're grateful for you, and we're privileged to be able to have you in our midst and in our presence. And like I say, those that, of you that are outside, don't worry. Somebody is coming around. Just you'll see them. When you do, give them a wave or something. Nobody will be accusing you. I always say this. Nobody will be accusing you of being charismatic or anything like that. Just let them know that we're here. So let's do this. Let's give our moms a hand. Everybody, just give moms all over the property as well as the world a hand today, just to say, hey, we really appreciate what you're doing. We're going to look at what the Lord says about the importance of a mother's role in the life of her children in the scriptures here in just a moment. But let's open up today in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we we come to you, we do so with a grateful heart. Lord, we're glad to be able to come into your presence. We're glad to be able to gather around your word. Father, we just pray that right now, as we take this time and these moments to be together, that you will help us to clear our hearts and to clear our minds. Father, we know that Satan truly is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Father, we realize that there are a lot of things that may be on our schedule today. Help us, Father, to put those things aside for these few moments to be able to gather around your word and, Lord, to hear from the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts today. You've given us that promise in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst, and you have a message for us that's personal, that's tailor-made for our life, our situation today. And I pray that you will help us today to give ear to what the Spirit will have to say. Lord, I pray that as we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. Father, those that may need salvation, those that need to repent and like the prodigal son, head back home to you. Lord, whatever the need today, we know that you want to meet it. Help us, Father, to be carefully attentive to what you say to each and every one of us. Lord, we also pray that you will bless me as your speaker. Lord, that you and you alone truly would be exalted. Father, today we just ask that you would do something so special in our lives that we will be different as we leave than when we came in, that we will be changed forever for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. That's one of those that get your foot tapping and get you going for the Lord. Amen? When we all get to heaven, is that not what we're shooting for? I like that part. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, what are we going to do? Sing and shout the victory. Man, I tell you, I'm looking forward to that. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. You know, one of the things that is a tough struggle, particularly as we think about moms today, and we think about celebrating them, one of the toughest things to imagine, and being a father, I can understand to a degree, but I still think it's a little bit different when it comes down to moms. But you do everything you can, and you want to see your children succeed in every way, shape, form, or fashion, right? You want to see them be able to be the front runner. You want to see them be at the head of the class. You want to see them be able to do things, and you want to be able to see them come along with ease of life. Wouldn't you say that we try to essentially make the easiest life we can for our children, don't we? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't discipline them. That doesn't mean that we do everything for them. And I think that's one of the mistakes that's made in society today, is that sometimes we're too busy doing everything for them that they don't understand what reality is really all about. Let me make it nice and simple. Life is hard, right? You agree with that? I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with me when you sit back and say life is tough. And people ask me all the time, and the answer to that is in one of these verses that we're gonna be looking at this morning. But people will sit back and they will say to me, they'll say, well, why is it that life is so tough? You know, particularly you get somebody that's a new believer, and this new believer says, you know what, man, I thought that when I received Jesus Christ, everything was going to get good. And I'm like, well, it did. Well, no, my circumstances and my situations, I was like, oh, no, that's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what the Bible tells us. In fact, if you will look, this is one of the things that the apostle is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me if you would. I'll just go ahead and read the verses, and I'll come back and pick up the points in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we bring forth your word, we know that your word is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that, Father, today as we have arrived and as we have prepared our hearts to hear you, that you are present and you want to speak to us. Lord, I pray that we will truly have our ear tuned to what you want us to know today. Because, Lord, if we do, we'll hear from you. Lord, I pray that as your messenger for these moments, that you would use me for your honor, for your glory, to be your mouthpiece, to bring about the message for your people. So, Lord, just touch our hearts in every way possible. Help us, Lord, as we gather around your word to be in tune to you, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that's a minute ago when I said, yeah, people come at you and say, life is hard. Yeah, and I thought it was going to get easy. Look at what it says in that verse 12. It says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This may be a question for you today. Are you suffering any kind of persecution for the name and the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, that persecution comes in all shapes, forms, fashions, and manners, but are you suffering persecution for who you are in Jesus? Now, you have to understand that the apostle was putting this forth for a reason. Yeah, he was talking to young Timothy. These are his letters to young Timothy, who Paul was mentoring along the way. And he was telling him, he was trying to get him prepared. He was telling him, he said, son, let me tell you something. It's a little bit of a translation, but this is what he was saying. Son, this ain't going to be no picnic. Yeah, as a believer, you are going to suffer persecution because of what you're going to preach. You are going to suffer persecution because of whom you believe in. And he's telling him, I want you to know that without having any mistake whatsoever. And he goes on and he says in verse 13, he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you see that in our society today? Is the situation worse or better now than it was, let's say, 20 years ago? Yeah, it's far worse. You know, when we think about things that, and I've said this many times, but it just seems like it gets worse and worse. But, I mean, even as a child, I've seen how much things have changed to the point where things that never would have been mentionable not only are mentioned, but have become acceptable in this day and age. And folks, part of the problem with that is we have become numb to it. We have become conditioned to it. Because what we do is we'll sit back and we'll say, well, it just seems like that's the way it is now. There's nothing that I can do about it. Well, I like what I heard an old preacher say one time when he said this. He said, well, you know what? If you take a whole lot of nothing, then you have at least a little something, right? We can do some things about it. But folks, that doesn't give us the excuse to make our comparison in our spiritual walk with someone else. And that's what we do, don't we? We'll be busy going, well, you know what? I may not be what the Lord wants me to be, but bless Jesus, I'm not like Rumpelstiltskin, because if I say somebody's name, somebody will say, well, he was saying that to me. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, well, I may not be the Christian I should, but I'm better than old Rumpelstiltskin. Here's the thing. We're not supposed to be comparing ourselves to Rumpel. We're supposed to be comparing ourselves and our walk to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we stack up when it comes down to that? So Paul is trying to give Timothy some good news. He's trying to encourage him along the way, and he says this. He says, here is a key to it. Now, here's where you want to pay attention, because this is where it dovetails in with Mother's Day. This is how the text makes sense for today. It's when we get down to verse 14. Now, he's told him already, he said, life is tough, and it's not going to get any better. He says, there are going to be those out there who are going to be deceivers, and he says, verse 14, but, that's a conjunction that brings two things together, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, in short, what he is saying is that you need to keep on living a godly life. You need to keep on living a life that is pleasing to our Father. And it says this, and the one that you are assured of. He said, even when it gets bad, don't quit. We probably either heard that speech or used that speech from somebody. You know, I like what the old boy says. He says, quitting's easy. I've done it 1,000 times. Well, if you've done it 1,000 times, that meant you started back up 1,000 times, so you really didn't quit. Sometimes we want to quit, don't we? Aren't there times when we just feel like we would just prefer to throw in the towel, throw up our hands, and walk away? Yeah, living a Christian life is tough. There is persecution along the way, whether it's verbal. I don't see it in America as much in regard to the threat of physical persecution, but I do in other countries. You can read about it all the time, and we're not so tuned into it because it doesn't happen right here. It's not happening right in front of us. The worst thing that we have in America is that somebody may say they don't like us, or they may make fun of us because we're a believer and we go to church, you know, on Sundays, and we read our Bible, and we don't do the things that are displeasing to the Lord, that are worldly ways as defined in His Word or through the convictions of our heart. Okay? So he's saying this. He says, you have to continue to do these things. Don't give up. Don't stop. Hold fast to those things. And it says this. It says, for the lessons that you have learned, and the latter part of verse 14 says, knowing whom you have learned them. He's saying, not only was it what, but he said there was something else. There is a who in that. Not only what you have learned, but who you've learned it from. So there's a couple of things that I want us to see from this morning's text. Paul gives us some clues about who he's talking about in that particular verse. Now, I don't want you to turn here, but I'm going to give you the hint that he gives us. Over in 2 Timothy 1:5, he actually tells us, he tells us this. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. So Paul is telling us who the influence in Timothy's life was when he was growing up. He is saying right there, first in 2 Timothy 1:5, notice once again, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So what we find out is that in terms that we can understand today, Timothy was raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and he is a good boy. He's a saved boy. He's one of those that when people look at him and say, well, I know him. I know how he was brought up. He was brought up right. He was brought up in the ways of the Lord. Now, listen, I could do a sermon series on this because, folks, I think that we have gotten to the point in our generations and societies today that the kids run the household rather than the parents running the kids. Would you agree? Yeah, listen, it's not the place of the children to call the shots in the family. Now, if that offends you, I can't make an apology for it, because sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth cuts. Listen, moms and dads, it is up to us to raise a godly generation of children. Why is it that people sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, Christianity sure seems to be on the downside. We're probably not going to have churches around here in the next few decades because nobody ever goes anymore. Part of the reason, we can't blame the kids. We got to blame ourselves. We got to blame the parents. Well, Junior didn't want to go today. Well, listen, I'm not a junior, but everybody called me Junior. How do you think that would roll mom, dad, they'd come get me up. So, listen, how many of y'all, did that bed feel real good this morning? It was more comfortable today than it was yesterday, wasn't it? And then see what happened. Your mom comes in, get up, you need to start getting ready for church. Oh, man, I don't want to do this. This bed's feeling really, really good today. Now, some of you know my parents, which is a good thing. But if my mom and dad came in there and said, son, it's time for you to get up, start to get ready to go to church. And I said, well, I don't think I'm gonna make it today. I'm just going to sit back here and relax. I'm going to catch me a few more winks of sleep. How do you think that would have gone over? Well, for those of you who don't know my mom and dad, that would have gone over very well at all. Because, you see, I didn't have that choice. You know, guys like sleep in sometimes, didn't they? You got to get a few of them out of bed, didn't you? And it probably wasn't real, real kind. You know what that's like? No, you've been there. You've seen it. Yeah, my military guys out here, listen, I love you. But you can just imagine coming in. Yeah, the soldier laying there, Sarge, I don't think I want to get up out of bed today. Oh, no, you don't have no choice. You're going to be getting out of bed, or I'm going to get you out of bed. I'm going to drag you outside, and then I'm going to kick you all the way on this 10-mile run we're getting ready to do. This is how it goes. Folks, listen, parents, it is time for us to be parental once again. It is time for us to raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or they're not going to have a prayer for the future. Plain and simple. Stop letting them call the shots. And one of the qualities that we see of young Timothy in this passage, as pointed out by Paul, was he said this boy was raised right. He was raised by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he says, not only do I see the godly, gifted qualities of the Lord within them, I see those godly and gifted qualities in young Timothy. And boy, that young man's got a future. So we can see right here where Timothy's influence was. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, that's dad's job. Well, folks, it's both parents' job in that regard, but people oftentimes will sit back and say, what was the story with his dad? You know, where was his dad? And let me check. I think I jotted this down in Acts chapter 16. It says, Acts 16:1, it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, essentially, what this is telling us, and you have to know some things about history, you know, it mentions in that particular verse, it says a certain Jewish woman who believed. In other words, pointed out that his mama, Timothy's mama, was a believer, but his father was a Greek. That essentially was pointing out the fact that his daddy was not a believer. So the reason why Timothy didn't have the godly influence from his father was because his father wasn't a godly man. His father was not a believer. So the influence that Timothy had came, the godly spiritual influence that he had, came from his mother and from his grandmother. That's why he turned out to be a good boy. That's the reason why. So we see these little hints along the way as to where his upbringing had come from. You know, what was it that made Timothy to be the Timothy that we know and love and read about and see? And to go back, it says, Verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, you know what is critical, and you know what is key about that particular verse? Did you notice that it didn't say knowing from what you have learned? Notice, look, go look at it again. It says knowing, last part of verse 14, knowing from whom you have learned them. To honor whom you... Can you all remember this? And I think about this very, very often. And you know, I am grateful, I am thankful, and I am blessed in light of the fact that I had parents who brought me up in a godly way, in a godly home. I came up with parents who didn't give me a whole lot of choices, because you know what? Kids will mess up the choices, because inevitably we will make wrong choices, because we will always, when we're younger, do what seems to be best and right for us. And that's not always what in the long run is best and right for us, is it? Yeah, I used to love, yeah, and JC will remember this, but I used to love hearing Mark, because Mark and I had the same story to tell about Walt Disney World, that Disney World that came on Sunday nights. And we never got to watch it, because every time that it was time for Disney to come on, we were on our way to church. And yet all of our friends the next day would be talking about Disney World, a Wonderful World of Disney, and all the really cool shows. Now, you have to remember, we lived in that archaic day and age when we didn't have VCRs. We didn't have the record button. We had three channels, man. And if the president was on, your night was shot. And so you didn't have an opportunity whatsoever to go back and see him. You weren't renting DVDs. You didn't have Netflix. You didn't have all of that stuff back then. You just missed it, period. You know, I always said this. I never cried when Old Yeller died, because I never knew Old Yeller died. I didn't get to see it. Now, here's what's really interesting. I can go rent Old Yeller anytime I want. I can find it on these movie channels. I can stream it. I can find it anywhere. But I cannot go back. If I was in that situation, I couldn't go back and receive the things that I missed growing up in a godly family, being in church. I can't get that back. I can get Old Yeller anytime I want. Mark was in the same boat, wasn't he? We laughed about those things. But it says this, it says knowing, verse 14, from whom you have learned them. He is pointing out, think about the person that led you to Jesus. I want you to think about them for just a moment. Who was it that led you to Jesus? Now, some people will sit back and say, well, you know, I accepted Christ at church, or I accepted Christ when I was in the Awana program, or Sunday school, or Vacation Bible School, or whatever, okay? Do you realize how much of an influence your parents were in that regard? I'm praying. Now, a lot of y'all can't say that. Some of you can't say, well, you might say, well, I went with a friend. My mom and dad didn't do that. I'm sorry to say. Some of you may have gone with a friend, but there was somebody that God put in your path that cared enough about your eternal soul, that loved you enough, that didn't want to see you go to hell, that they invested in your life. They shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ. They worked with you. They've helped to try to disciple you. They have helped to try to grow you in God's grace. And let me make you this guarantee. If you are that parent today, if you are on this campus, outside, in this building, in the sanctuary, in the cars, if you are at home and watching, when you invest in that regard in your children, it pays long dividends. They will inevitably make wrong choices. You know, see, people sit back all the time and say, well, gee, how come it is that young people don't want to go to church anymore? Because they're not grounded in it. Because it was never important to mom and dad. And let me say this one more time, and I'll get a lot of hate mail, whatever you want to call it. Mom and dad, if being in God's house and learning godly wisdom is not important to you, it will never, ever, ever be important to your children. Not now. Not down the road. How many times have people come to me and said, well, we tried to raise them right and everything, but I don't know why, you know, my children don't care to go to church anymore. And I've had to answer some things really hard at some times when they sit back and say, I can't figure out why. I said, well, you know what? They didn't come when they were younger. You didn't bring them when they were younger. You were the one that said, well, you know what? The thing about it is they just didn't feel like coming today. Listen, when you let them choose, they'll make wrong choices. Sometimes, I'm gonna get in trouble, okay? You ready for me to get in trouble? We'll get in trouble. God gave you a gift of your children. And he said this, I've called you to be their parent. You can be their friend later on after you get through parent. Right now, I need you to be a parent. Right now, it's time for Nancy to have her hands full with children's Sunday school. That's what she needs. She's ready for it, by the way. But you know what? Last time I checked, your age group can't drive, can they? Mom and Dad, that's up to you. That's up to you. And people sit back and go, why is it that we lose our kids after they graduate from high school? Because they've never connected with Jesus when they were here, if they were here. Listen, folks, church is not something that should just be something we do. This should be where we come and grow in God's grace, where we reach out, where we connect with him. And it's not just something we do on Sunday. It's something that we do every day of our life. That's the way that should roll. But he said this in verse 14, knowing whom, not what, knowing whom you have learned them. You know what he's doing here? He is honoring Timothy's mother and grandmother for their godly influence and their godly upbringing of this fine young man named Timothy, who would go on to be a fantastic evangelist and a fantastic representative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were basically talking to Timothy and saying, you know what, boy, you're here today because of your mama and your grandma, not because your daddy. Your daddy's an unbeliever. Imagine what it would have been like being in that household. Some of you know that. Some of you that may be tuned in may know what that's like, to have a believing parent, one believing parent and an unbelieving parent. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And I have watched the believing parent make a lot of sacrifices to make sure that their children were exposed to godly things, sometimes even to the detriment in their own home, because they realized that their children's eternal salvation was more important than their earthly life, period. Oh, now we're going to scratch something here that's even worse. Eternity is far longer than this temporal life in which we live. You gonna be with Jesus. Now we sing the great old hymn that regardless of whether you're contemporary, traditional, somewhere in between, or what have you, everybody has heard Amazing Grace, haven't we? And the last verse of that starts off, and when we've been there 10,000 years. Got any 10,000 year olders in here? Oh, maybe 5,000 year olders? No? How about 1,000 year olders? You mean nobody here today is 1,000 years old? No, I didn't ask you what you felt like. I asked you what you were. Not 1,000 years old. Okay, let's cull it on back. 500 years old? 500 year olders? We've got a section there? No? Whew. Well, we got a young church, don't we? We got young'uns in here. Let me pull it on down. How about 100-year-olders? Now, I know some of y'all are sitting there going, I'm getting close, but I'm not there yet. No 100-year-olders. You just young pups. Well, just wet behind the ears when compared to eternity, right? When we've been there 10,000 years, we can't even fathom 10,000 years. But when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years is just a drop in the bucket for all of eternity. Now, let me ask you what's more important. Is it more important for your child to be worldly and away from God and successful in this temporal life that is only a vapor according to the Word of God? Or is it more advantageous for your children to be prepared for all of eternity? If you're smart, and I believe you are, and you put those on the scale and you put them in the weighed and balanced, I think that you would choose eternity to be the best selection of those two. Eternity will outweigh temporal every day of the week. So have we prepared them for that? Are we doing what we need to do to prepare our children? People sit back all the time and tell me, I would die for my child. Then guess what? Then start doing the things that you need to do to ensure that their eternal life is in the right place and in the best situation, because temporal ain't getting it. Where's the eternal? You may have done everything possible on this side. You've set them up. You've raised them. You've put them through college. You've done this. You've bought them that. You've put them in that. You have set them up to be a success in life. But how have you done in setting them up to be a success for all of eternity? That's a harder question to answer, isn't it? Now listen, I don't want you to be afraid, disappointed, or worried, because if you can hear my voice, there's still time. I had a guy ask me one day, he said, I failed miserably at being a spiritual dad to my children, and my children are grown right now. What can I do? I said, you can start right now in making things right. You know what the first thing you can do is? You can tell them exactly what you just told me. I just screwed this whole thing up with you as a child because I didn't major on the most important things. I majored on the less important things, but eternity, listen, I hear it all the time. Now, you want a real good perspective? Here's a perspective. You would say, I'll do anything for my child to, you know, when it comes down to life or death situations. I would prefer to be in the place where they are. I would rather be the one that is going through this. Well, let me ask you, when it comes down to hell, the place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, where there is no rest for the weary, where I believe that every unbeliever will see all the opportunities that they had to come to know Jesus. I think Satan is that cruel that he'll show them that all the time. He will show you a clip or a slide of the end of this service today where you had an opportunity to trust Jesus and you didn't. Now, why did I say that? I said that because we will do anything as parents. And I understand your heart. You're like, my children, I'd take a bullet for them. I would do whatever. Well, it's time for you to take a bullet for them and be the godly type of parent that you need to be in your children's life to ensure their eternal life, not just their temporal one. Because what do we learn? We learned in verse 12 that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. Every day of your life is going to be, and you're going to fail. And you know what happens when you fall? What do? You get back up. And then when you fall again, guess what happens? You get back up. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up. How many people are stubborn in here? Hallelujah. There's my people. Stubborn. Knock me down again, guess what's going to happen? Get back up again. I learned that from a little old blow-up clown that had sand in the bottom of it when I was little. Y'all remember them? Today's kids are going, what? We didn't have toys that had buttons on them. We had blow-up clowns with sand in the bottom. And you know what you did? You punched that clown, and when that clown would go down, he'd go down hard, wouldn't he, brother? He'd hit the ground. But guess what he did? Sometimes he'd hit you back if you was too close. You knock that clown down, he gets back up. Knock him down, he gets back up. Knock him down, he gets back up. That's what we need in regard to godliness today from parents. When you get knocked down, get back up and keep on pushing forward. He said, it's not just about what you've learned. Think about who you learned it from. Today, I want you to think about the person who invested in your life enough to point you in the direction of Jesus Christ and the person who lived that godly life in front of you, because I know that there are people. I could go out and say, well, listen, tell me about the person who was so influential in your salvation. You could tell me. I've had many of you sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. This person right here is the one that led me to Jesus. And man, they walked with him. Everything they did. If my spiritual life could only be like theirs, whew, man, I'd feel really good about myself. Now, let me ask you this question. Is somebody bringing up your name like that? Maybe someday or somewhere, some preacher somewhere is saying, listen, I want you to think about the person that led you to Jesus. Are they thinking about you? Maybe they're saying, I want you to think about the person who taught you and discipled you or brought you along the way in godliness. Is your name on their lips? Is your name crossing their mind? When somebody asks your children that question, who was the most godly influence in their life? Are they going to call your name? Now, here's the sad part. The sad part is that for some of you, you couldn't answer that question with an emphatic yes. It will be my name. It's not too late. It's not too late. But you know what you got to do? You got to admit, you got to go say, hey, look, yeah, I left out the important things. Life will suck you up. Satan makes the world look so good, doesn't he? Yeah, he makes you busy. And by the way, Satan doesn't make you busy with frivolous stuff all the time. As a matter of fact, most of the time, the things that Satan makes you busy with are good things, aren't they? Well, I need to do this, and I should do that. But you got to get your priorities right. Folks, if you really love your children, then you're going to bring them up in the ways of godliness so that you don't have to worry about what happens after they graduate from high school and go off to college and start families of their own. You have raised them in a manner in which the Holy Spirit will convict their heart if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Remember that verse, train up a child in the ways they should go. When they're old, they won't part from them. It doesn't say anything about the goofy stage. That's a biblical term. How many of y'all understand what I'm talking about, the goofy stage? How many of y'all hit the goofy stage? And some of y'all are going, I don't want to raise my hand because I'm not real sure what he's talking about. You know, where you did something really dumb. You went away. Mom and dad weren't there. That influence in your life wasn't around. So you did it your way, and you rode that trick pony for a couple years, maybe a couple decades, and then all of a sudden you realized the value of what was taking place before, and you came back. That's the goofy stage. Now let me ask, how many of y'all went through the goofy stage? Rest of y'all lying, you better repent. Because we've all done it. We've all been there. We've all walked in those shoes. And like that prodigal, Lord, I'm coming home. It's time to get back. It's not too late. He's saying this. He's saying, Timothy, you need to remember and honor your mama and your grandma because you're the good boy you are. You are the saved boy that you are. I got to put that in there because too many people think being good gets you to heaven. You're the saved boy you are, and you're walking in godliness because of them. Because of them. Does somebody say that about you? Notice what verse 15 says. Let me catch the latter part of verse 14 going into verse 15. It says, knowing from whom you have learned them. And he's telling him, let me go to the top of verse 14 just simply because it puts it all together. But you must continue in the things you have learned. The Word of God, the Lord's Word, what your Sunday school teacher taught you, what your Awana teachers are teaching you in regard to the verses, what you're learning from a crazy old hillbilly pastor. He says, continue doing the right things. Continue, verse 14, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, honoring those who have put themselves out there for you to teach you the Word of God, to not worry about what everybody else said, to care about you enough to point you in the direction of Jesus. And verse 15 says, and from childhood You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we do Awana around here. You know, a lot of times people say, well, what's the big deal about kids learning verses? Well, right here, which we're able to make you, notice verse 15, that you have known the Holy Scriptures. Man, I still remember I grew up in the Awana program. I got a pretty good memory, or I did, but now what happens is, this is what it was all about. When I was out there in the middle of the stress, in the middle of the circumstances, in the middle of the situations, in the middle of the persecution that is spoken about right here, guess what came to my heart and my mind? The verses that I learned when I was little. The verses I learned in Sunday school, the verses I learned in Awana, because now what happened, I might have just been memorizing them back then and may not have been able to make application to them, but now that I had them in here, they trickled down to my heart that when I needed them, the Holy Spirit reached down and pulled those verses out and said, looky here. Isn't that cool? It's funny because, you know, there's different Bible translations today. And you'll see me at times, you know, you'll be up there and you'll hear me quote a passage of Scripture. The scriptural passage I'll quote will be in the King James. And people say, well, why is it that you quote Scripture in the King James, but you might read from that? And I said, because that's the way I learned it. I said, at my age now, I don't think I can go back and relearn it. And by the way, the first way I learned it was pretty good. It's effective. It works in my life. And he's saying that from your childhood. The way your mama and your grandma brought you up and taught you the Scriptures. It says, which are able, verse 15, to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, you can't accept Jesus for anyone. That's why these little kids that we so desperately want to reach out to and the children are so important. You know why? Because we need to expose them to the gospel message that the Holy Spirit may convict their heart, that as the Holy Spirit convicts their heart, they will have the opportunity as soon as possible to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And man, isn't it fun when that happens? That's why part of what we like to do when we've done baptisms before is we'll get Sunday school teachers and Awana leaders and everybody to come and stand up, you know, down in the front while the candidate is in the baptistry, which, by the way, I think we're having one next week. It's going to be fun, too. We have them stand there. You know why? Because we got to share in the experience. We got to be a part. Most of us can trace our salvation back to an obscure hand that cared enough about us to expose us to Jesus. And here's the thing about it. They may not even know to this day. It may have been their influence from years back, and you may have given your heart to Jesus later in life, but it was done so because of them, because of their influence in your life. Listen, do they know that? Have you thanked them? Today might be worth a call just to say, hey, look, I just want you to know that you were influential in my life and you changed my life. I didn't accept Jesus. Yeah, you taught my five-year-old Sunday school class, and I didn't accept Jesus till I was 30, but everything that kept coming to my heart was what you told me when I was 5 years old. The verses that I may have learned. Timothy was an interesting character. See, the apostle of Jesus Christ in this text bestows upon motherhood and grandmotherhood a very great honor, and that's why we honor you today, Mom, grandmas. What an honor. You have a calling that can be long remembered. You have the long arm of faith that you can reach into the lives of children, and not just your children, but other children. You know, I like to think about it in this way. There are a lot of people that are hearing me preach this morning. If you heard my testimony, you would be laughing about how I got where I am and how God called me into ministry. But from the time that my parents were faithful to carry me to church despite Walt Disney, despite after going through college and being away from home and going through the goofy stage. Despite all that, the word rang true in my heart from days gone by. They kept calling me back. They kept calling me back. They kept calling me back. I've shared with you before, influential, but you see, my mom and dad got me there. But then there was Pete and Margaret since. I've told y'all about them before, but I'm going to tell you again just because I hadn't told the whole world on camera since it was a few years ago. But they taught the little boys Sunday school class at First Baptist Church, Hinton, West Virginia. They were old as dirt. And they had the five-year-old boys. And here's the thing. We were brats. You had the preacher's kid. You had the deacon's kids. You had Nightmare on Wheels. At Christmas time, I said before, at Christmas time, gifts, man. You know, Mr. Pete and Miss Margaret got presents. Let's all tear into them. And they were like books. Books. 5-year-old kid don't want no book. What do you give me a Bible dictionary for? I can't even read yet. Give me a Bible dictionary. Come on, man. This is the most disappointing Sunday school class I was ever in my life. What happened to like the G.I. Joes, man? What happened to the Army men? What was all that? A book? Come on. Oh, by the way, I still have that book in my library. Pete and Margaret Sense, they would love on. Now, she would be disappointed with us. She let us know when she was disappointed with us. She looked hurt, and that bothered us. We didn't know why. Mr. Pete would be like, Miss Margaret was, but let me tell you what they did. They loved us. They loved us through elementary school. They loved us through high school. When we graduated from high school, little Miss Margaret, as feeble as she was, come down there and hugged every one of us. Said, I love you boys. It didn't come about until later on, and it's probably been 20 years ago now, that there was a revival that was done at my home church, where they called back preachers who had been called into ministry, who Pete and Margaret had been their Sunday school teacher. The revival lasted several weeks with one preacher per night. They started off with the oldest one that they had had who preached first, and then each day it came on down. Now, I said that was 20-some years ago. I wasn't the last speaker. I was the next to the last. But there were so many young men called out of that class because they believed in us and they taught us. Everybody else would have thought we would have been in Attica by the time we were 20. Not Miss Margaret. Mm-mm. You a little rough around the edges, but the Lord's going to polish you up. Pete and Margaret. But you know what? I'd have never met Pete and Margaret if Mom and Dad hadn't have been an influence in my life. You know, you got some kids that need to know Miss Nancy. You got some kids that need to know Mr. Tony and Mr. Jim. You got some kids that need to have them as part of their life. You know why? Because they care. And here's the real key. This is what I was saying a minute ago. Pete and Margaret's ministry is still going on this day. You know how? Not just me, but all those men who God called to serve him under them, who are preaching this day right now. Imagine the outreach of people. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands have been influenced because of a little old lady and a little old man who taught 5-year-olds in Sunday school. That is a God thing. Where do you fit
in that puzzle. You have a calling, moms, that can become a long-remembered ground of faith, not just for your children, but for untold millions of people all around the world that will be affected by your children. Whew. It's a little bit different when we look at it that way, isn't it? He says, man, boy, your mama and your grandma, whew, I am so glad they influenced your life. Look at you. Oh, by the way, it's not look at us, it's look at God. But remember what he said. Don't get me wrong. He said, it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, he said, yep, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Moms and dads, it's time for us to change the dynamic of the direction this world's going in and to be influences in the lives of our children that are godly influences. I'm going to ask Jim and Amy if you'll come on up, take your place. We're going to have this thing that we call it an invitation. I am praying that the Lord has spoken to your heart. Listen, I know he has, regardless of my efforts and abilities or lack thereof. The Word of God doesn't return void, and God spoke something into your heart today. What was it? Was it well done, good and faithful servant, or was it, hey man, you know, you need to step it up a little bit? Whatever it is, I'm asking you today to yield to the direction of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I'm asking, do you know him? Has there been that time in life when you said, yes, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I realize that sin is what sends me to hell, but through the shed blood of Jesus' cross, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, you have made a way for eternal life that I will not have to suffer an eternity in hell. Lord, today, I'm giving my life to you. Have you done that? Listen, if not, simply bow your head if that's what God's put on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save my soul. Listen, if you did that, let me make you a promise. He has. His word tells us. It's not complicated. It's simple. But it's not just going through that process. But now it's you need to live for him. You need to live like him. Based on this word. Listen, if that's the case, let us know. Listen, if you're watching, if you trusted Christ, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We love to celebrate Jesus, don't we? We want to help you along that journey. We want to help disciple you. Just like Paul did with young Timothy. Is that you? Listen, maybe you're here today and you thought, well, I was supposed to have a real good encouraging word for Mother's Day, but now I feel like low. It's not too late. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says where there's repentance, there is forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is peace. Listen, today, whatever it is that God has pointed out in your life that you need to deal with, just bow your head and say, Lord, today, I understand what you've spoken in my heart. I cannot fix it on my own. Help me, Lord. Help me follow you. Help me be a godly influence on the lives of my children and on the lives of generations to come, because we're only here for a little while. So, Lord, forgive me. Fill me with peace. Give me direction. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, wherever you are, whatever decision the Lord has put on your heart. Listen, if he didn't put anything on your heart, then here's my thing. Pray for those around you for these next few moments that are dealing with some really, really tough stuff in their lives. As we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, I'm going to ask Jim and Amy if they would play as you spend time with our Father. If you need us, know we're here. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Folks, we need to remember a few folks in our prayers as we get ready to head out today. We want to remember the Brazil family. Our very own Judy went on to be with the Lord. Her funeral service will be tomorrow. And then Ron English also went on to be with the Lord, and his funeral service will be on Tuesday. So we want to remember those families as we gather together, and as they go through these very, very trying times, we want to keep them in our prayers. On a little happier note, this coming Friday, our own Donnie and Jenny Chilton will be celebrating their anniversary. So if you get a chance, wish them a happy anniversary this week, as well as Roger Brooks has a birthday this coming Friday. Mike, Chairman of Personnel, has something he wants to mention to us, and then I'll give us our final announcement. And we'll get you on out of here so you can take Mama someplace nice. Take her out someplace nice. Remember, she's done a lot for you. Don't take her no cheesy place. Take her someplace good, or better yet, cook her something at home. Oh.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Roy. Don't go anywhere. On behalf of the Personnel Committee and the Congregation of Central Baptist Church, we'd like to tell you just how much we appreciate you and thank you for your 19 years of service at Central Baptist Church. 19 years.
I'd said before, it doesn't seem like 19 years. It just seems like only yesterday. But thank you guys so much. It is a joy. It is a pleasure to be able to serve Central Baptist Church. We don't know what the Lord has in store from one minute to the next. But thank you so much. It has been a pleasure and a joy of our life. And like I said, my wife, who's right back there, Miss Jana, is the one who always keeps me up and going. But thank you guys so much for your love, and just know we love you back with a bunch. So thank you so much, Mike. Well, let me give just one more announcement before we go. We do have a blood drive that is that's coming up this Monday, right? Tomorrow. It's tomorrow. How many of y'all have ever given blood? Cool. How many of you want to do it again? Cool. We've got six places, at least six, open for tomorrow. Mike's daughter, Katie, does a phenomenal job. It's been a fantastic opportunity to have the blood drives here. There's a couple, like six slots that she would love to fill up. If you're going to call, if you can call the office, we'll get you in touch with Katie, or you can see us afterwards, and we'll try to find out what those time slots are and get you signed up today. So just let us know, all right? Anything else I'm forgetting? Listen, everybody enjoy Mother's Day. Noah Awana tonight. Next week, I believe, is the final hurrah for Awana. So y'all enjoy Mother's Day. Next week, we're going to be having a baptism as well. What we'll probably do is, once we end our service, we'll go over to the sanctuary, and if you're going to be watching the live stream, we may go off for a few moments, but then we'll come back on over in the sanctuary for the baptism. So let me close us in a word of prayer. Guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much for godly influences in our lives. Lord, as we've read about Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lord, may somebody be able to someday say those kind of things about us, that we were a godly influence to them, that changed their life or helped put them on track for you. Lord, today we ask that you would bless us. Be with those today who this Mother's Day is going to be a tough one because their mothers are in heaven. Lord, we still celebrate the fact that their influence continues to live on through their children. So, Lord, I pray that you will dry the tears and that you would fill their hearts with joy and blessing, knowing that they were privileged to have a godly mother in their lives that blessed them during the time that they had to spend with them. Lord, reach out to those who need you today. Encourage hearts. Put smiles on faces. May there be telephone calls made.
for those who aren't close to mom. And Lord, may there be joyous celebrations together in appreciation for all mom has done, not just in the physical keeping of the children, Lord, but also in the spiritual and emotional health that they experience through good, loving, caring, godly moms. Give us a great day, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.